Go Loud.
That's the kind of margin of victory you get in those left-wing dictatorships. You know, like Nicolas Maduro could never. He has a machine, like it sounds like. I have a machine that will fix all your problems.
Ooh, jinkies.
Yeah. Here, the pumpkin trailer's empty. Load it up the artifact.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Few Scoops. We are a comedy news podcast who aim to inform you without giving you clinical depression. My name is Aoife Muir. I'm a journalist, an author, and my co-host was smouldering on the front of the Irish Examiner magazine this weekend. It's our answer to Colin Farrell. It's Colm O'Regan.
Take a sexy picture of me, is what I said to the brilliant photographer Nina in Museum of Literature. And have to say...
Yeah, guys, look it up. That is a tender picture if ever I've seen one.
I'm also going to use, there's a particularly lost looking face inside where I'm looking into the middle of this. I'm going to use that as my face when I realise you haven't bought my book yet. It's, yeah, I would recommend from a mental health point
of
view,
sexy.
Get somebody to take a good photo, one good photo, not the photo where, you know, in your friend group, there's always somebody who's ready for the camera.
Yeah.
And they look amazing while everybody else looks.
Yeah.
Ghoulish.
Yeah. This week we have a new president of Ireland. We discuss the election on Saturday. We talk about Brigitte Macron and the trial that she has taken against harassment online. Drag queens and our queer brothers and sisters attacked in Cork and everywhere else. The PSNI have learned absolutely nothing, it appears, from the rate of domestic violence in the north. And Colm has a really boring story about science.
That's me.
The big news this week, this year, this 8 years, Ireland is due to have a new president.
That's right.
Catherine Connolly was elected on Saturday with 63% of the first preference vote and was elected on the first count. She beat her opponent, Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys, who secured just over 29% of the vote. How did you feel, Colm?
Well, when I saw the margin of victory, I immediately worried because that's the kind of margin of victory you get in those left-wing dictatorships. You know, like Nicolas Maduro could never.
She has the highest number of first preference votes in the history of the Irish presidency.
Yeah, actual numbers of votes. That's extraordinary.
If Heather Humphreys had gotten all the spoiled votes and all Jim Gavin's, which she still would have lost.
Yeah.
It's mad. 63% of first preference is unprecedented.
Yeah, and just reading the world media reaction, what are we at? It's a slippery slope to riots in the streets, more of them. And obviously collapsing currency somehow as well.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff that happens.
I was reading, to my own detriment, I was reading some TikTok comments. So I saw an Australian, because I used to live in Australia, so I still follow a lot of news over there. And an Australian breakfast news programme noting the election of Catherine Connolly. And there was comments from people saying they only had the choice of two left-wing candidates. And I thought, God, I wonder does Heather Humphreys know that she's left-wing?
Do you know what this is like a bit, though? Watching foreign coverage of the Irish presidential election is like watching your neighbour's house on Airbnb or Daft, because you know what it's really like.
Yeah.
And now you realise, oh, this is how inaccurate media can be when you know the truth.
The reason I stopped listening to The Rest is Politics with Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart, not only because I find them both insufferable, but they did a piece about Sinn Féin once. And they were so wrong about Sinn Féin that I thought, why am I listening to them about anything else? Because I don't know if they're wrong about Lithuania, but I'm taking their word for it. And if they're this wrong about Sinn Féin, they could be this wrong about Lithuania too.
Yeah, I really feel for the international media after their outsized reaction to Catherine Connolly's presidency. They're going to be a bit disappointed when her first act as president is not to declare martial law, but to open a new playground. Like, that's...
Yeah, or go to like a football match.
They really don't get it. They don't get what the presidency does here.
No, and I think, you know, a lot of the media coverage in the last number of weeks would lead someone from the outside to think that we were electing the supreme leader of Ireland who was going to take over how we live our lives for the rest of our days to come. Yeah. But really, there are a ceremonial figurehead.
Catherine Connolly flanked by Mick Wallace and Claire Daly, all wearing berets for some reason. But how was it? Where were you for it?
I was there the whole day, yeah. So I was at Dublin Castle the whole day. It was very strange. It was a long day of waiting around, even though we knew she had won.
Yeah.
And then we were in the hall for her announcement. It's worth noting that Micheál Martin was not going to attend Dublin Castle, which is unprecedented in itself. He said that he was in Cork and he wouldn't be there.
Well, come on, I was in Cork too, so.
There was a number of Fianna Fáil TDs that said it stunk of being a sore loser.
Yeah.
And that it was really disrespectful. And then he appeared in the hall. There was like a whisper went along the hall.
Was he in like GAA shorts and helmet on his head?
He was wearing his suit.
Yeah.
But he said, oh, no, I always plan to go. I just didn't realise the count was going to be so early. And I thought, well, if the volunteers for the Connolly campaign knew when the count was coming in, surely somebody could have told the Taoiseach. He said no one phoned him, that he decided himself to go, but it does appear after backlash from his own TDs he realised he was going to have to go. But then, you know, it is incredibly embarrassing for the Taoiseach of the day's candidate to drop out. And the big news after Catherine Connolly's election is now there is a review ongoing internally within Fianna Fáil about how the Jim Gavin thing came about, the incompetence that led to the Jim Gavin candidacy and the unreliable vetting that they did of Jim Gavin. And now Fianna Fáil TDs and ministers are talking in earnest about Micheál Martin's leadership. I would argue not before time if we're going off just housing numbers and everything else, but they are talking about leadership. There was a lot of chat that if Micheál Martin had not been the Taoiseach when the Jim Gavin thing happened, they would have heaved him. But you can't heave a Taoiseach over a presidency.
Yeah.
And now, on the back of this review, a number of very senior Fianna Fáil TDs said it's time for Micheál to go.
Yeah. So we know that they want Micheál Martin gone at some point. What are the practical considerations? Like, the budget's done. Mm-hmm. Is there a big euro thing coming up? What are the kind of deadlines on their minds, the heavers?
So the switch to put Simon Harris in as Taoiseach is due to happen around November in 2027. And because Ireland's EU Council presidency ends in 2026, there was some chat that Micheál could go now after Christmas and take that role in Europe, or a role in Europe, and then that allows the new leader of Fianna Fáil, whoever he or she may be, to bed in as the Taoiseach, be seen as the Taoiseach, and then Simon Harris takes over. And then, God, we're looking down the barrel of another election.
Wow. They grow up so fast, don't they? Governments. Now, Simon Harris, though, he mightn't be leader. Is there any heaves against him? Because that was bullshit, too.
Well, it's bullshit that they're used to. Fine Gael couldn't get a presidency in a one-ticket raffle.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're as disappointed. They ran a really, really bad campaign. But I think there is enough grace given to Simon Harris because Heather wasn't their candidate in the first place. Their candidate was Mairead McGuinness, and she dropped out. They were scrambling around. They chose Heller over Sean Kelly.
And Sean Kelly wanted it. Like, he's
wanted it.
Fuming.
Yeah.
Fuming. Have I got the Derry pronunciation of fuming?
Fuming.
Yeah.
Sean Kelly said that he was completely shafted by the leadership. He really wanted it. He's the former head of the GAA. God, we love GAA candidates, don't we?
Do you think that, like, Fine Gael, do they just not want to run a man against a woman, didn't want to, like, Sean Kelly would have, he was a working politician. What were they at, do you think?
Oh, far be it from me to get into the minds of people who vote Fine Gael.
The day that you get into the Fine Gael mind is the day that you go, I've been captured.
Yeah, I've been brainwashed. No, I think it was because Heather is really well liked within the party and she was a minister for a really long time. She's also Protestant from the border. Like, I think there was a lot of really good features to Heather.
And
also, she's the opposite of Catherine Connolly.
But she's seems good crack in real life. What happened to her?
Heather's really, I've always found her really good crack. And I didn't get any of Heather's personality through this. Fine Gael's campaign wasn't about Heather. It was about Catherine Connolly, and it completely backfired. And what I was also thinking over the weekend was there is already precedent that toxic campaigns don't work. It didn't work against Mary Robinson. It didn't work against Mary McAleese. The Irish public don't like a toxic campaign. So someone within Fine Gael could have looked around and said, here, we've tried this kind of negative campaigning before and it doesn't work. Why are we doing it now again with Heather Humphreys? Especially when Heather Humphreys wasn't the first choice and you want to make her life easier. And what they did was made Heather's life a lot harder by forcing her into this really toxic debate with somebody that I think she has quite a lot of respect for.
Yeah.
We wish Catherine Connolly all the best.
That's a mandate.
And so ends my foray into paid politics.
Oh, yes. How was it?
Wouldn't do it again.
No.
I think I always said, you know, Catherine Connolly was the only person I'd ever work for.
Only person so far, though. There's a Gen Zer now starting their role in politics.
If we get the Irish Zoran Mamdani, who's currently running for New York mayor, I'd probably work for him.
Yeah.
I'd marry him if he asked me. But yeah. I worked for Catherine Connolly's campaign. I'm very proud of the work we did. There was a huge mandate, which makes my life a lot easier now to say I did it once and I picked the one inside.
Yeah. Did you even look back as you walked away from politics?
No, I went and got a battered sausage and went home.
That is no way to refer to your co-podcast presenter.
Okay, well, we move on. From one president to another, from the sublime to the ridiculous, we are now travelling to France for our next story. 10 people have gone on trial in Paris charged with online harassment of Brigitte Macron, who is the wife of French President Emmanuel Macron. This is an ongoing thing for people who aren't as online as me. Brigitte Macron is an older woman. And a good bit older than her husband. She is 72 years old. And online in the last few years, a really toxic and detrimental narrative has started out of nowhere that Brigitte Macron was born a man, that she is a transgender person. And this has been repeated ad nauseum, both in France and by one main podcast. What even is Candace Owens? Podcaster? Right-wing conspiracy theorist.
Mouthpiece.
She has perpetuated this myth that Brigitte Macron is transgender. So the Macrons have taken legal cases both in America and Paris, and they started this week. The Macrons' US lawsuit said that they were verifiably false and devastating lies being repeated online by Candace Owens. They said their evidence clearly disproved this grotesque narrative that had become a campaign of global humiliation and relentless bullying on a worldwide scale. 10 defendants took to the courts in Paris. 8 men and 2 women, aged 41 to 60, are being tried in criminal court, accused of online harassment. And if convicted, they face up to 2 years in prison. The defendants, who deny all the wrongdoing, have been accused of making malicious comments about Macron, her gender, her sexuality, and calling her a paedophile. Now, all the people who have been charged have the same ridiculous excuse that they were just joking. Mm. It was just a joke. Oh, is it? Can you not even make a joke in France anymore? And that's what these people will always do. They will always claim free speech and that you should be allowed to crack a joke. One man said that he called her a paedophile to inform others that he denied harassment. So the case is that Brigitte Macron was born a man named Jean-Michel Trudeau. And that man is actually Brigitte Macron's brother. He lives in their hometown village and he has been at both presidential inaugurations.
Mm,
so this
exists,
photograph that they're using of saying this is what she looked like before. There's photos of those two people together.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, this is a very rich woman. She's very powerful. She can take these cases. And this type of thing really, really bugs me. So this is what's known as transvestigating, right?
Mm.
And right-wing, hateful people use this in the name of protecting women. But what it actually means is just more surveillance and scrutiny and limitations on women's bodies. So we see it in sport. We saw it with that boxer, Khalif. I saw it with Daniel Radcliffe, the actor's wife. Anyone who does not fit their binary decision on woman or womanhood is going to be transvestigated. And the bulk of all of this is that there is something wrong with being transgender, when there is nothing wrong with being transgender, but it is a way for conservatives to control women's bodies. You have to wear a dress, you have to have long hair. And even though Brigitte Macron does wear dresses and does have long hair, not even she is safe. And it is so dangerous, because what it does is what the Catholic Church did for years and what extreme Muslim communities do, is that women have to fit this type of standard. And it's very damaging to, like, I've seen a lot of TikToks talking about butch lesbians now who are feeling really, really vulnerable.
Or women with short hair.
Yeah, women with short hair.
And trousers.
Women who are not thin.
Yeah.
Women who are flat-chested. All these things. And it's a very vile element of transphobia, as if, like, being called transgender is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Hailey Bieber, I'm sure you followed Hailey Bieber quite a lot, Com, but Hailey Bieber was asked recently about the rumours that she was transgender, and she said, I don't know why people think that's an insult. Some of the most beautiful people in the world are transgender. But my point is, Brigitte Macron, who to me ticks all the boxes of female binary, you know, presents as feminine and as very glamorous and whatever else, even she is not safe. Like, what is the end goal to this? If you want to go onto a toilet, do you have to show someone your vagina? Is that what we're getting at? Because these right-wing conservative people who constantly say that the West is free and it's those terrible Middle Eastern countries that control women, but are you going to start tackling 14-year-old girls before a netball game and ask them to see their tits?
Yeah.
Like, it's disgusting. It's not joking. It's not satirical. Online abuse is running rampant in every facet of our society. And even if you think that this is only going to be limited to the French president's wife, I have a bridge to sell you, because they're going to come for you too.
Yeah, and the useful idiots who do this stuff, they don't realise that in the utopia they imagine, they will be crushed beneath the wheels of the same elites they claim to rail against, because they're just as expendable as the people on whose necks they're trodding.
Yeah, it's the I voted for the leopard eating faces party, but I didn't think the leopards were going to eat my face.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop at transgender people. They will, everything they're saying about transgender people now, they said about gay people back in the day, and they are coming for them next. And, like, look at what's happening in Italy. Same-sex marriages can no longer adopt children. Their birth certificates are now becoming void because they have two same-sex parents. This is what's going to happen. If it can happen to the president's wife, it can happen to anybody.
Also, it's another reminder on how rumours that may sometimes have been started ironically by some 16-year-old gain currency, because it's so ridiculous that it's the kind of rumour that doesn't even have to fight on the normal levels of fact as something that's half true. It's absolutely bizarre.
Mm.
So you're stumped to say, I can't believe that you don't understand that up is up and down is down. They're like, well, it could be the other way around. How do you know? And it's in the realm of flat earth thing or QAnon in the States, which again started on a message board. I think it was on 4chan.
Yeah.
And it's not clear to this day if it was started as a joke or with any kind of a point.
Mm. So yeah, I mean, as someone else who's been, not in this way, but harassed online repeatedly by numbers of people, I wish Brigitte Macron all the best. If you have thoughts and feelings about the fact she's 24 years older than her husband, that's fine. Does not give you the right to call her a paedophile or a man. Now we will move to my second favourite city on the island, Colm's hometown of Cork. This is a really repulsive story. I feel like one that deserves a lot more attention than it's getting. Cork City's Jazz Festival was held over the weekend, and two drag performers were attacked on video while they were promoting one of their upcoming events. So I first saw this on Instagram. Have you seen the video?
No, I don't know if I want to look at it. It's so...
it's pretty bad.
Awful.
So there are two drag performers, Crystal Queer, first of all, fantastic name.
Yeah.
And Lucina Shining. In the video, they are taking the video themselves when they are attacked. So for me, what is the most disgusting thing about it is they are on Oliver Plunkett Street on Sunday night. They are filming their video. And as one of them is speaking, you can see that they're, like, attacked from behind.
Yeah.
So in the video, a person runs up, he, I think, kicks one of them in the back, and then people cheer in the street as he runs away. And then in the second bit of the video, one of them says that they have just been smacked in the face. The second man comes up to them, right up into their face, and the camera drops. You can tell that one of them has been attacked. And the next shot in the video is that there's a fresh cut to their face and it's bleeding. They posted it on social media, urging people to stay safe over the Jazz Festival weekend and over Halloween. The Gardaí say they are investigating. If you want to see the photographs of the two men, you can find them all over social media. There's both clear pictures of the two men. Both, I would say, I'm very disappointed to say, look quite young. I would say in their 20s, max. This is rampant homophobia. The fact that people cheered made me want to cry. And just because I don't want people saying this is my own bias, I looked it up, and research done by UCD last year showed that attacks on the LGBTQI plus communities are increasing in Ireland. Participants described being targeted on social media, and then this was seen in protests outside libraries and the targeting of their organisations. Public spaces were found to be common areas for these attacks and the disruption of events. Irish participants who are public figures, particularly trans people, reported continuous harassment and warnings from the Garda Síochána about their safety. Direct threats to their homes and families, death threats to homes addresses, and partners being named in letters. All over the world, we are seeing emboldening of these hateful right-wing groups. And now, Ireland, who likes to think it's not racist and likes to not think it's not homophobic, is very complacent about this. Everyone was up in arms when that lesbian couple were attacked on a Dublin bus the year before last. Now we have two performers attacked in the street in public, one of the busiest weekends in Cork. Yeah. They felt no fear or shame about attacking two drag queens in the street and were cheered on when they did it.
I mean, there's lots of causes of this. I'm still furious at the pussyfooting that went on when you mentioned the libraries. So the library is the sacred space. Like, it is the most neutral. It is the most third space, you know, the place where you can sit down, where you're not charged to do something. And in 2022, I think, when this flotilla of fuckwits was going around Ireland trying to close down libraries
because of
one book, maybe.
A book that dared teach young people about homosexuality.
And the guards did not. They were
They placated them.
Yeah, they were so limp about the whole thing. Maybe they were like, oh, we don't want to give them the viral video.
Drew Harris, the Garda commissioner, said about the anti-immigrant riots is that they took a soft hand with them because they didn't want to give them the viral video.
Well, they have their fucking viral videos now.
They have their viral videos. And also, I think the anti-Israel protesters and pro-Palestine protesters would have appreciated a soft hand too. But they didn't seem to get those.
Yeah, or the students in May Day in the early 2000s.
Or Shell to say.
Yeah, there's plenty of people that there has been no problem at doing the heavy gang with. So you have to ask questions about the ideology when it's somebody shouting a particular thing.
So yeah, check in on your queer and trans brothers and sisters. It's an incredibly tough time, I think, for some people to be out and proud. It goes back to what we were talking about Brigitte Macron, and now what we've seen in Cork. There is a fear among people who don't feel like they can truly be themselves in public. They can't wear what they want. They can't perform as they want because they are afraid of being attacked. And it is not always caught on camera. People cannot be expected to go to the Gardaí every time someone shouts queer at them in the street. And we're seeing a lot more of this. You know, it's a very tense time. And call out your mates. And I'm mostly talking to straight men here. But if your mates are making homophobic jokes, get new mates, because it's a sliding scale and it leads to gay bashing. Okay?
Yeah.
We're heading north for this story. Police officers in the north have been found to have used degrading language about a suspected victim of domestic violence after a phone was left recording. So the phone was seized and it recorded 16 hours of audio. The device was recovered following the arrest of a man in his home in December 2022. The police officers were unaware that the phone had been recording audio during his arrest and then his time in police custody. So these officers were making degrading and inappropriate comments about the man and his partner. This suspected victim of domestic violence was described by a police officer as mental, possibly suffering from postnatal depression and requiring hospitalisation. There has rightly been uproar about this now, about these two officers. But for me, and the reason I chose this story is because we are living within a femicide crisis in the north, a domestic violence crisis in the north, the whole island, but the north specifically. And this is the way the PSNI officers are talking about victims or alleged victims of sexual or domestic violence. And it's like we hear about the Met, and, you know, every time we hear a new thing about the Met or anything, time we hear a new thing about the PSNI, you're like, geez, that's terrible. And centrists online will continuously tell us it's a few bad apples. What's the end of a few bad apples? What's the end of that phrase? A few bad apples spoils the whole barrel. And there has to be something done about the attitudes of police officers, specifically in the North, when it comes to domestic violence and femicide. Like, last year, there was 29,751 domestic abuse incidents in the North. Northern Ireland has the highest level of domestic abuse in Europe, and 28 women have died violently since 2020. And this is the way PSNI officers talk about an alleged victim of domestic violence. I don't have anything to say other than I think it's absolutely disgusting. Also, after this, investigators examined an allegation that one officer had encouraged a colleague to destroy the phone in case it was recording. So then he said, what a way to get sacked. So they know what they're doing and they know what's wrong, but they're not even worried about the effect it's having on their work or the victim or alleged victim. It's, I just don't want to get sacked. If you don't have respect for alleged victims, why would you go under the police in the first place?
And has it always been thus? Are they getting worse? Like, you know, are these old dudes or young guys? And do you know what I mean? Is there a kind of a, where's it going?
It doesn't say here, but it says that three officers were issued with advice and a fourth was subject to measures to improve conduct.
And was one of the pieces of advice, destroy the phone?
Like what was the piece of advice? Be nicer.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing issue. I think most any advocacy group or rape crisis or domestic violence shed will tell you that there's massive issues within police services, north, south, east and west, when it comes to women in general. And these places have to do better.
I presume as well, things that are historically dominated by male, you know, you just, the culture.
Yeah, anywhere there's loads of men tends to have a very toxic culture.
Yeah.
Armies, police, rugby, football, like
podcasting.
But yeah, I just wanted to include it because it just underlines everything the victims of domestic violence say about their interactions with police. And it's not just the PSNI, we know it's the Garda Síochána as well. Colm,
yeah,
give us your good news.
As ever, I can never seem to find good news that like counteracts on a direct level any of the issues raised in the rest of the podcast. It's kind of like, I know things are shit in terms of minorities and domestic violence, but here's a guy making water out of air. Like, because it's just, that's, and I'm always repeating myself, that's somehow where you have to go looking for stuff.
It's
science or the future or another country. But here's a guy making water out of air, and it's the Nobel laureate. So he has a machine, like it sounds like, I have a machine that will fix all your problems.
Oh, jinkies.
Omar Yagi is the founder of Atoko, which aims to harvest water from air. He won the 2025 Nobel Prize in Chemistry for a scientific breakthrough that his startup is now on the verge of commercializing. Oh, okay. Gets to the commercializing bit. Then.
Just say, what does it do?
It turns water into air. So,
but why would you need air when... Surely we need more water?
It's the other way around, sorry. It's harvesting water from air is what I mean, right?
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. You would think that one of the basic details, you know, I'm like, oh, how will I explain the complicated science to people? And it's like, Emperor, you're not wearing any clothes. Yes, its technology harvests water from the atmosphere in a kind of a portable way. Let me find.
So would this be for like countries going through drought?
Exactly, yeah. So what it does is it's got these MOFs, which are not motherfuckers, but they are bad mofos. They're metal organic frameworks, which are extremely small structures made from metal and organic molecules and filled with porous cavities, he said off by heart reading from Bloomberg.
Yeah.
A gram of MOF material can have the surface area of a soccer field, and it's made of elements designed to adsorb, not absorb. So plebs,
God,
absorb.
You need to get better good news stories. Yeah. This is fucking horrendous.
It's not. It's helping people in dry countries get water from the air. I mean, look, it'll all come together in the end, in the year 2150, when we're all able to enjoy the fruits of some of the good news stories that I bring everywhere. I can't find any fucking good news. We have to go for adsorbing MOFs that take water from the air, and they will be used for data centers. So you could put data centers into hot countries and that kind of thing, and stop using up precious water from aquifers and that kind of thing. So look, you're scowling at me about data centers, but data centers allow people to download old episodes of this pod. We are the problem.
Yeah,
I am very smart.
Every week on A Few Scoops, we would like to hear your listener good news. And this week we have one that says, there's no name on it, but says, "Hey Aoife and Colm, me and my boyfriend listen to you all the time. I want to give him a shout out for finishing the Dublin Marathon in 3 hours and 2 minutes. He used to listen to A Few Scoops on some of his runs, so you guys should take some credit.
We don't even have to make as many episodes now because he can do the marathon so quickly.
And I just wanted to add, it's another good news story about the marathon. The first Irish woman to cross the line at the Dublin Marathon on Sunday was 19-year-old Ava Crean of the Back to Boston Running Club in Limerick. She started training for Dublin around 4 months ago, and she got a personal best and then was the first Irish woman to cross the finish line. She only ran her first marathon earlier this year. She finished 6th overall, and she ran it in 2:34.
Preparation is overrated.
First Irish woman. Yeah. That is unbelievable. Well done to Ava.
She is not a runner from a long time, but she is some sort of junior Olympian from a while back. But she wouldn't even run outdoors until she knew she could run.
She said she was so skeptical of her ability that she refused to run outside and instead pounded away on a treadmill. She is now a history maker, according to the Irish Times, whose potential appears boundless. She said, "I can't believe it." And then they just didn't quote her anything else. Yeah, so fair play to her. 2 marathon.
Yeah, maybe I should have picked that story rather than absorb. But you know where?
I'm truly the backbone of this podcast.
I'm the arse. Do you know what would be useful for her, though, if she was doing any of those desert ultramarathons? Some sort of apparatus to produce water from air. Also, the other good news is my book is being published this week.
Yes, I started it last night.
Yeah, and you're still talking to me.
You have some planter words in there, like spake.
Yeah, but I'm inclusive. I'm the Heather Humphreys of this podcast.
Yeah, so I started Colm's book last night. I will be doing the launch with Colm.
Very good. It's Wednesday. Good that you'll have read a bit of it, as opposed to doing the launch going. And yeah, it seems pretty good. It's got a lot of pages in it.
I'll have it finished by Wednesday. But yeah, enjoying it so far, if you want.
Thank you very much. It's here. Gallivanting with words. In all good bookshops. It's great that we work kind of in an independent podcasting sense. We're not, RT rules don't forbid us from plugging our own shit live on air. So anyway, do buy it. You know, it's a great book for, it's got everything in it, really.
You did what I did with my book, is that I really feel you've cornered the dad Christmas present market. Definitely when I was reading it, I felt like it would be a really good dad or anyone Christmas present. Yeah,
I think there's a lot in it for women as well too. Like, there's a whole chapter of a rom-com where a man listens to a woman's feelings and talking about her day.
Seems completely unrealistic. That's us for this week of A Few Scoops. I have been Aoife Muir. I have very little news. I was so busy with the election. I have very little.
Yeah, what do you do now? You've a sense of emptiness. What do you do when you achieved all you've wanted to achieve?
Yeah, I've peaked now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've no plans this weekend. I'm going out for a nice dinner on Friday night, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'm going to see some pumpkins in the dark thing in Newbridge House with the children, some Halloween thing this weekend. It's really, really good. There are a lot of pumpkin bullshit events around the fringes of Dublin. Basically, it's where the countryside gets its revenge on Dublin by getting our money off us in exchange to look at a pumpkin. But that's not the case for, I think it's called Pumpkins in the Dark in Newbridge House.
Oh yeah, I actually keep getting ads for that. It must be because I'm near you.
It's meant to be really, really good. Because I remember we went to something, I won't say where, but like, it was a farm and it was just people walking around the farm. And then I remember hearing a sentence like, "Hey, oh, the pumpkin trailer's empty, load it up there to fuck." So I felt then that the What Catherine Connolly would call the pumpkin industrial complex was in full sway.
If you have any good news, we would love to hear it. You can DM me or Callum on Instagram, or you can send it to afewscoops@goloudnow.com. As always, we thank our producer, Siobhan Walsh, for putting up with this. And this week again, we will have a bonus episode.
That's right.
So stay tuned for that on Thursday.